You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And today I'm joined with Sean and Chico.
Yo, yo.
Both of them back. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm great.
Good. Anything new and exciting coming up in your guys' world or happened?
Well, the last time I was here, I was the bass player in Symphony in Peril, and now I'm the former bass player in Symphony in Peril.
Yeah, Symphony in Peril, we just got back from our second tour.
Awesome.
And went to North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia.
I was jealous the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. It was good times. And
good.
Yeah. We got to play in a venue that in 81 to 83... REM played there on a regular basis. And then in 91, it was like one of the last venues Nirvana played in before Smells Like Teen Spirit came out.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, the rest is history. There was no way they'd play a venue that small anymore.
I don't know. I've seen a couple bands where they still like to go back to those small venues, even though they get big.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're trying to thumb their nose at the man of, you know, no, we are still going to play the small rowdy crowds and clubs. I'll say congrats to Chico, because Chico recently got a massive touch from God.
Oh, yeah.
It's talking about how he started crying. Almost said bawling just for fun, but.
No, I will fully admit it was just, I've always watched people get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I never understood like what kind of impact it would have on you physically.
Yeah.
And then this past Sunday, our head pastor and his wife came up, and all he said was, "You've grown a lot, and I want you to receive this, and I want you to be ready for what's going to happen." And I'm like, okay, you know, and I opened my mind to it, you know, because normally I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. But now, like, you know, I'm a baptized man now. So I just opened my mind. I'm like, all right. I was just like, give me all you got. And all he did was just lightly touch my heart, just lightly with his hand, just his fingertips.
Yeah.
And I was filled, like, something hit me. And again, I'll use this reference. It was 1.21 gigawatts of pure Holy Spirit, bro.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was, and it was so hard that tears just literally started running down my face, and I wasn't sad.
That's awesome.
But it was just like, it was like pouring out of me, and it was the only way to get out, because I'm like, if I pee myself, this is going to be a problem.
Wouldn't be the first time on that prayer floor.
And then afterwards, he went to the future.
Yes.
So it was literally like it came at me literally at 88 miles an hour, and I was on the floor, and I was down, and I'm on one knee, and I'm like, ooh, this is heavy. So I get down on both knees. And I'm like, why am I crying? Stop crying. What? He didn't hurt you. And so, and then it hit me like, that's what it feels like.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you put your hand on me, Luke, and you're like, You didn't say anything. You're just like, so I knew you were there.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, well, I'm still here. I didn't go to the future.
Yeah.
But, and then I looked at my wife.
I looked at my wife
who was taking photos, and she just gave me a big smile. And I got up and I hugged her. And then the friend of all of us, Derek Schwint, he's like, you're a totally different person now than before that happened. And ever since then, I'm like full of life. I'm like happy. I'm like, I'm looking forward to this week with my wife and hanging out with her family. And normally I'm just like, oh no, family stuff.
I'm just like, bring it on.
My brother-in-law's getting married. I try it on myself. I look pretty spiff, dude. Nice. Suspenders. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, there's nothing like those encounters. I remember being 18 years old, and we were in a youth service, and I remember my youth pastor came up, and same thing. Just he said, "Hey, I just feel like I need to pray for you." He prayed for me, and I just remember just feeling it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, man.
Yeah,
just encounter with God. And I closed my eyes and I just remember it was almost like I was looking into the eyes of the Lord. It was the wildest thing. And that night's when the Lord just really kind of started moving me towards ministry. And and encounter is valuable, man.
Yeah.
It's why it's so valuable.
Well, my first encounter was yesterday, and I'm still like, it's better than any drug, any drink, like I was uplifted. It's better than any orgasm.
I'll say it here. Yeah,
it's crazy, dude. Like I was.
Yeah,
and now I'm just like.
And then so you'll look back on it too, and you'll mark it as, man, it's when things began to just shift.
Yeah,
change, man.
Well, like last week. I got baptized because that was just, that was for like, I got baptized in 2019 with my wife and that was like a thing. But since then I've, and you know this, especially Luke, like I have battled.
Oh yeah.
I have battled with, is this real or is this, you know, is this how it's supposed to go?
Yeah.
And I've gone to, and at times I, you know, being on the security team, I would beg you to just let me work every service.
Yeah.
And you and your friendly and fatherly way, like, look, bro, you need to have a service.
Yeah.
And only until recently did I understand what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
So I just made the decision, like, I need to get baptized. I need to do this right just for me. And this has got nothing to do with anybody else, not my wife, not my friends, not my mom, not my dad. It's just, I need to do this for me.
Yeah.
And as soon as I came up, it was, again, a different uplifting feeling, like, okay, all these anger issues I've had since I even walked into the church, gone.
Yeah.
Patience level way up than it used to be.
Yeah. Like,
I was smiling at people, which is shocking.
Yes, Chico doesn't usually smile.
And then to get, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit just this past Sunday, it's like, am I really turning into this person that I used to, you know, I don't want to say make fun of because that's terrible, but it, like,
you used to make fun of these people.
Why are you so happy? What, you know?
I just, you know, I've seen this. It's so wild. You know, it's God, but I've seen people get water baptized.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about water baptism. It's like they get water baptized, and I don't know if they just really, truly make, you know what? I really want to bury my old man under this water.
Yeah.
And I want to come out a new man.
Yeah.
I seen the hardest of the hardest teenagers that you'd almost be afraid to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go under that water, come out, and man, they were a joy to be around, and Spirit of the Lord touched them, and it's unreal.
Yeah,
I've had numerous people at church, like when you first walked in, I wasn't messing with you.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I told him, I was in a young adult gathering. He's helping me in young adults now, and he was down there, and I said to the whole group of guys, I said, I was kind of terrified of Chico because He looked like he was not, one, not happy to be there.
I was not. Not
and
one bit.
The other one, like, he didn't give you too much information. No. It was real short.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very vague.
Yeah.
Very vague.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing we had in common is we liked heavy music.
Yes. Yeah.
But in return to that, though, I actually reached out to him one day. Like, I need someone to connect with.
Yeah.
And get on a level. And first it was him, and then it was you. And then it all started with our old pastor, Aaron.
He
started that ball rolling.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah. He would come to have lunch with me like once a week, mm-hmm. and he was trying to help me break through my issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I would kill to sit down and tell him, like, look, this is what's happened since you left for Chicago.
Oh, I think he would love it.
I was going to say, didn't you go visit him?
I did not get a chance.
Oh, you didn't get a chance.
Okay. Get a chance. Oh, I was thinking about it, but we just did not have the time.
Yeah. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Still kind of keeping in mind the encounters and the change and all of that and the connections. But I actually wanted to talk to both of you because you've both experienced something in a little bit of different ways, and I really wanted to get your guys' perspective on it,
mm-hmm.
especially with a godly man's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk about grief and loss.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that's something that affects a lot of people. I mean, a lot of men especially. And I know from my experience that, you know, especially when it comes to heavy emotions, it's really hard for men to kind of raise their hand and say, hey, I don't feel right. Or, you know, I need help here in this area. You know, this hurt me, you know. So it's like, so if you guys, I mean,
oh yeah,
I roped you into this.
It's but all good, man.
If you guys are willing, you know, kind of maybe walk me through and you know, our listeners through what does that look like?
To kind of go backwards a little bit, my grief was we were going to our appointment. My wife and I were going to an appointment for our fourth kid.
Yeah.
And we were at the point where we were going to find out the sex. So we brought one of our teenagers with us that we were really close to, and it was like super exciting, happy day, you know. And we found out at that moment, I think the baby was like 16 weeks or something at that point. I don't really remember, but the doctor got real quiet in the room, had everybody leave the room except for Joy and I. And broke the news that our child had a condition called anencephaly, which means the skull wasn't fully formed, and so the brain couldn't form, and so they wanted to terminate immediately. Long story short, we decided we didn't want to terminate; we wanted to go full term. Went full term,
and
was all along the way believing God for a miracle. Had people all over the world, including your wife, reaching out, praying for our miracle. And we didn't get it. And so it sent my wife and I into a tremendous place of grief.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had it because I was burying all of it.
Yeah.
Like a man, like most men do.
Oh yeah.
I was a youth pastor at the time. Didn't want to show any emotion to my teenagers. I was in a faith church, so I also wanted to carry this idea of, like, I'm a man of faith, I'm a strong man, I'm strong for my teenagers, that I'm youth pastoring, and buried it. And that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, God gives us emotion for a reason. And, you know, however you have to get it out, if it's a cry, if it's just talking it out with somebody, you've got to get that grief out of your heart, out of your mind, communicate. And as soon as I started doing that, opening up to my wife, showing her that I was feeling it, it even brought healing to her.
Oh, wow.
And because she was waiting for me to grieve, like she, and she was a mess.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to fix my wife. I was like, I don't know what to do. God, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a process. And a lot of times people don't realize that. It's like people expect healing to come fast and furious.
Yeah.
Oh, I need God. I need him now. You come fast. But sometimes healing is just a process. It's like putting a Band-Aid on. It's not healed like 2 hours later. Sometimes it takes a few days or, you know, a long time for that thing to like really heal.
Yeah.
And there are moments where God comes, like he did with Chico even yesterday, comes and it's an encounter with God, and whatever that thing is, boom, it lifts off you. But, you know, for me personally, it was a process. I had to really receive healing from the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when my mom died, you know, I got the call, and I had never had the greatest relationship with my mother up until the last few years she was alive.
Yeah.
So for years it was, you know, we were always butting heads and just sometimes even looking for a reason, because that's the only way we communicated.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, I got the I love yous. I got the hugs as a kid, you know, but we always just had some kind of rift between us. And it wasn't until, you know, I had two kids already that we just kind of buried the hatchet. Like, you know, we can't live life like this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I called her to let her know my son was coming. And we said we loved each other. And that was the last time I saw her, last time I talked to her. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, she was gone to be with the Lord. And then, with grief, pretty much with any, I'll admit I'm a bottler, you know, I'll bottle it all up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I will bottle it and bottle it and bottle it. I don't even care if it's overflowing. I'll still throw it in the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then eventually that top pops.
Yeah.
And it all just comes out like lava.
Yeah.
And I'm hot. I'm heavy. I will crush you.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been trying to find ways to do better, because even with, you know, just talking to my wife, sometimes I can't tell her how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know what it is about that. There's certain things I can like open up to my wife about, and there's just certain things I have to have a good friend, you know.
Yeah.
To just, you know, I have a friend, his name's Pastor Lonnie Coates. He's in West Virginia. He was my pastor for a little while. He is one that I'll take my dog for a walk, and I'll call that man up, and I'm like, Pastor Lonnie, here's the deal. And he's a man that had suffered complete failure.
Oh, wow.
In life.
Yeah.
Divorce, lost his job, sleeping on his daughter's couch because of infidelity.
Oh, wow.
And God has completely and totally restored that man.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I come to him, it's like no judgment zone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
it's
awesome.
Like this man's been through a fight, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's just, and I just encourage the listeners out there, find your man, find your man, find your dude
yeah.
that you can connect with. find
that still
your man.
Don't sound right, Sean.
It's a, how do I put it then?
I don't know what to say. Find that friend that you can confide in.
Yes, exactly.
Because, yes, I can confide everything into my wife, but she can only give me a female's point of view.
Yeah.
Like, I confide in Luke a lot, and because I have that, we've built that trust with each other. So he's usually my big brother, you know, telling me how to, you know, encouraging me. He's always encouraging me.
Yeah.
To, like, you know.
Tough love.
I'm encouraging you to just sit through service and not do security today. And for the longest time, I'd be like, ugh, fine. But now I look forward to him trying to encourage me.
Yeah.
Because we've built that relationship. Mm-hmm. And then going back to grief, like, if I'm grieving about something, he can see it now.
Yeah.
He can see through the wall I built in front of everybody.
And that's the thing is, like, our wives do know. They could see it. They know
us. Yeah, they do.
So well. And they're like, what's going on? Oh, I'm fine. No, you're not. You know? And so, sometimes women are such feelers that some of it's just so weighty, and it's almost like you don't want to put that kind of weight on them in a manner. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying not to open up to your wife at all.
Right.
Bear it. Okay. But I am saying, like, there's just times that, you know, it's good to just have that friend that you could just confide in, you know?
Yeah. And I know sometimes with me, like, I was raised of a generation and mindset of, you know, husbands, you know, men, but especially husbands are not to show weakness or vulnerability, you know, to their wives. And so it's like, how can I tell my wife how I'm feeling? Mm-hmm. You know, that really bad F word, without looking weak or vulnerable, you know? And it's like, how can I, you know, 'cause I haven't been through, like, the grieving process. I have not lost anybody close to me. Yeah. The closest I've lost is, like, grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, but I know with me, sometimes it's like my mental health struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of to Chico, what you were talking about, bottling it up. One thing I've said, I've even said it to counselors, is I want to find a way to explode in a healthy manner.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what does that look like? You know, because I bottle things up and I internalize a lot, mm-hmm. and I implode.
Yep.
So it's like, how do you find that relief valve or something? But
yeah.
And for the longest time for me, it was music.
Yeah.
But now I have kids and I'm providing for my family, and I just can't do that kind of stuff like I did in my 20s.
Yeah.
So I've had to find other ways, which I'm still not successful at. I mean, I get to go shooting once a month.
Yeah.
I get to go play softball with our friends during a season.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's like I've got all these winter months to, like, you know, I'm just like, how do I get it out?
It's kind of, I'm the same way, because, you know, I ride my bike until I can't feel my legs, you know. That's how I would get a lot of that. And I just, it's so funny. It's like you're on those big, long bike rides, and it's like, it's almost like you shut everything off. It's just like you, it's almost like you could be clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's kind of how I would. And in those winter months, man, it's like I didn't want to ride inside.
Yeah.
It's like I'm staring at a wall. You know, like,
you know, I don't know about some guys, but I actually find solace in my work.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm an automotive painter. I'm constantly in a spray booth with all this gear on by myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
So for me, that is kind of my escape from everything. And if I'm in deep thought, I can still do my job, but still, like, try to find solutions to my problems. Mm-hmm. And probably it's those 27 years of that kind of isolation probably makes it not even a lot harder to express feelings and stuff. So.
I never thought of it that way. Yep, that's true.
Yeah, I'm not a psychologist, but I will say yes. Probably yes, yeah.
And it's funny because I'm like this connection guy at the church.
Right.
But it's so funny, like, when I'm in, like, the foyer, yeah, and everybody's socializing, I am as nervous as a cat.
Wow.
And I'm supposed to be, like, out-of-the-box guy.
You're the guy.
Hey, he's the dude on the, oh, he's probably a ball full of fun, and I'm a ball full of anxiety when I'm in a foyer of people. It's weird.
Let's see. I'm the exact opposite. I'm the quiet, put on the mean face, and everybody wants to be my friend. Everybody's like, hey Chico. I'm like, I just want to sip my coffee before we have a conversation. But I'm firmly believing that God is changing me in a way, like people are seeing through that wall I've built up for years.
Yeah,
they might see the mean face, but they know I'm a teddy bear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had, you know, nobody that I really knew, but in this past probably 3 or 4 years, I've seen numerous pastors, head pastors, young head pastors in their 30s.
Oh, wow.
Committing suicide.
Wow.
Like, I think four that I know of right off the bat.
Oh, my goodness.
And beautiful wives. Beautiful families and mega churches, like churches that are not small.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Is driving this, you know? And it has to be, I mean, it sounds stupid, but it has to be rooted in just demonic oppression.
Oh, yeah.
To the fullest degree, where these guys feel that that's their only way of escape from what they're battling. And, you know, when you're at a level like that, I think even as a pastor, I can relate, is that you're so afraid of losing everything that you've worked so hard to build by just opening up about your struggles.
Yeah.
And we've got to do better as believers, that we can open up to one another as men.
Yeah.
Is that, hey, listen, we're men, but we're also human. And no matter if you're a head pastor or a altar worker, whatever you're doing, like, you're not untouchable for the devil to influence.
Yeah.
And so we've got to do a better job as men opening up to one another and being vulnerable, like we talked about last Wednesday in our young adult. We were talking about the number one thing men need to be in our current culture is to be vulnerable to one another. And there's a balance in that. There is a time where we do have to be strong as men of God.
Yeah.
But there's also a time that we need to begin to be vulnerable. Not weak, but vulnerable.
Yeah.
So if we could find a way to balance that in our culture, I think that's a true victory.
Yeah. I mean, I heard once, you know, that, you know, a truly dangerous man is also like a gentleman.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... Yep. You have the power to cause destruction, to cause, you know, hurt and all this, but you know how to restrain it in a healthy way. You know, in my mind, it's like, okay, all three of us are fathers. Mm-hmm. All three of us held babies.
Yep.
You know, our children. It's like, yes, we're strong enough. We could destroy that child.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gentle enough to, you know, to restrain all of that and to take care of that child. You know, in a way, it's we as men get to do that, you know, to those around us, you know.
Yes, Jordan Peterson said something along those lines.
I did steal it a little bit from Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, I think it's he's talking about a controlled, powerful man is the most like dangerous.
That dude is a beast.
I love him. I'm sorry,
he's fun to listen to.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. You know, but again, you know, so it's that way, you know, so it is those times when we bottle up and we want to explode and, you know, throw lava all around everybody around us. You know, it's like, we know, okay, we need to hold that back a little bit.
But in that sense, I'm learning that throwing lava on everybody and hurting everybody around you isn't fixing the problem.
No. Right.
And it causes the length of the issue
drags it out even longer.
Because you not only hurt yourself, but you hurt those around you. So you have a lot more to prepare, repair than your own self.
Like me and my wife, we don't really fight, but we're both bottlers. So if we both, and it, you know, it explodes, and we still love each other.
Yeah.
But we're both trying to find, like, look, let's just start small. Like, if you don't like the way I do the dishes, just tell me. I'll do them a different way.
Yeah.
You know, starting small and then working up to something huge. Like, I don't want to get too graphic because she'll probably listen to this and she'll be like, ew, honey. Yeah. But
make up a scenario. Make up a scenario, Chico. Make it
up. I don't know if I can do it. Anyway. Point is like, yes, we need to be around our dudes, but we also need to be vulnerable enough around our women so that they see that, you know, you're just as strong talking to me and letting me know how you feel than you are not talking to me and just being, you know, a harder, you know.
Yeah.
There's moments where you're just like laying in bed and like you're on your phone and you look over at your wife and she's looking at you and she just kind of sighs. She's like, let's talk. And you're like, that's terrifying. It's like,
oh, no, I wish. I wish we did. Let me see. That, I'm learning that communication is everything when it comes to your marriage.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
And with that, I'll put a shameless plug that because Dina and I have our own podcast about talking and communication and marriage stuff, we do have a lot of conversations about all sorts of marriage communication. Yeah. It's like, what should we talk about?
Yeah.
That's good, though. And because of that, I feel like you guys have just, I mean, in the time I've known you, you guys have just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger.
It's, appreciate that. Thank you.
It's crazy. Like, I envy it, and I'm working towards that myself. Because, I'm not going to start a podcast, but I'm trying to find ways with my wife.
He should. I think it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
There'd be a lot of cuss words.
there's a button. When you create it, there's a button.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That says this contains explicit language.
But I'm also trying to find better, you know, vocabulary now that I'm a baptized man. And you know,
yes.
Yeah.
But I do work in a shop environment, and it's for the last 30
years. It's so cool how God works, though, because
it is cool.
Because I could see this Chico is even a year ago. I wouldn't imagine even seeing him go this far, you know, and how the transformation. And, you know, I've always loved this quote, we're not perfect, but we're being perfected.
I like that.
And
yeah.
So it's like, I'm not perfect, but God is perfecting me, almost like the potter. And he's forming that perfect vessel. And, you know, there's that little bump that's in the way, and he just smooths it out.
Yeah.
Crafts it, and then now, you know, he's doing that to Chico, and now he's poured a little bit into that.
But see, I'm still sticking with my quote: is I got God in my heart, but I'll still put my foot in here. So that's where I'm at with that. And I don't, you know, I don't. I'm gonna just go throw it on a whim. I don't think God minds that. I think He'd rather me be real, and honest, like. Than, you know, being fake and cupcake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, but I can sit here and talk.
I appreciate
like I can sit here
that,
and talk
though.
To dudes about God and not feel weird about it right now.
Yeah,
like
I
before,
appreciate
I'd be like,
that so much, though. It's like I just it sounds funny, but being in the bars,
yeah,
and with the band, it's been refreshing because I get outside of the four walls and yes. I get around real. I'm not saying the people in the church aren't real, but people with real messy lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm around it. I'm rubbing shoulders with it. And you start realizing, you know, grace and God's hand in people's lives. And,
oh, yeah.
And it really kind of softens you up to be a little bit more gracious and loving and compassionate to people and less harsh. Cause I think when we're in the church world so much, that we lose perspective of real lost, hurting people because we're just always around believers,
yeah.
you know?
Oh, I'd agree.
And it's good to just get out there and get dirty.
Yeah.
Well, and in contrast to that, that's probably why I've been feeling the calling to try to mentor our young adults.
Yeah.
Because I was that guy with the messed up life, living in the four walls with the beer and the drugs. And, you know, and now I'm in a better place. I've got a beautiful wife, four beautiful kids. And, like, if I can mentor a 20-something-year-old kid, and not maybe just walk down my same path, but, like, if I can get them to, like, look, like, we had that one kid with the drug problem.
Yep.
You know, and I was like,
and he got vulnerable. It was so awesome.
And it was awesome. Nice. But I looked him dead in the eye. I'm like, look, I'm going to love you, but I'm going to tell you what you're doing is a choice thing.
Yeah.
Everything you're talking to us about right now is a choice. Yep. You're choosing to still walk down that path when you could easily just say, I don't want to do this anymore. Yep.
And it was wild when I had that encounter with the Lord. It was wild because the desire for a lot of the things that like pornography and drinking and drugs, it was like as soon as I had that encounter, it was almost like I started to lose. No, I'm not starting. I lost the desire for those things.
Yeah.
Because God, it's almost like it was like this exchange, my heart for his.
Yeah.
And when I got his, I was like, whoa, I don't want to do this. I don't want to cuss. I don't want to drink. I don't want to have premarital sex anymore. It's like every bit of that just began to shift is because, and I really believe I made an exchange, my heart for his.
Yeah. And I like how both of you guys put that, you know, between the exchange and the choice, you know, because it's, you hear so many times of, you know, especially when somebody first becomes a Christian, it's like, you can't do this. You can't do that. You got to stop doing this, stop doing that. And it's like, well, if you don't replace that with anything,
yeah,
right,
you know, all of a sudden it's going to be like, okay, well, now I want to go back to that.
Yeah. And it will only, like, if there is no exchange, and like, I love Todd White and Dan Mahler, they say this, it's not a prayer prayed, it is a life, what is it? It's like, you don't pray a prayer to get to heaven, there is a life change that happens. And I'm not quoting it right.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But the gist of it is we've got a generation that says, oh, I prayed a prayer and now I'm saved.
Yeah.
No, it's a life lived. Like you exchange your heart for his. Like there's an exchange that takes place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen it as a youth pastor. Week after week after week, the same kids going to the altar and repenting.
Yeah.
It's because they didn't really have a true life change. They didn't say, God, I want you to be Lord of my life.
Right.
Right.
Change my heart. Exchange this heart for yours.
They're basically coming to church on Sunday. By the way, I got wasted, God, last night. I'm here hungover. I'm just asking for forgiveness so I can do it again next weekend.
Yeah. Right.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my ex-wife, like her family, they would, I'd be there on Saturday. They'd be having like their clubbing clothes on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go out to the club and then I'd go to my ex-wife's like church.
Yeah.
And the next morning they're coming to church, all snazzed up, not looking like they did the night before, and praising Jesus.
Oh yeah.
It just ate me up. Man. I was like, oh, that is such a lukewarm life, man.
Oh yeah.
That would be what I would call back in the day the hypocritical
side. Oh, that is so hypocritical.
Yeah. And it is. It's a performance mentality.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know me growing up in the Catholic faith, I mean, it was super easy to do the performance, you know? Because, hey, as long as I go on church or Christmas and Easter, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know?
Go and say my Hail Marys and I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Go confess to the priest. And,
you want to hear something crazy? Like, I was listening to... on Instagram, this thing popped up, and they were interviewing these OnlyFans girls. These are like straight up like porn girls.
Yeah.
And this one porn girl says that she goes to church on Sunday mornings, and guys that are her fans from the church like to get pictures with her, like like fan photos.
That's messed
and
up,
and how messed up is that?
That's messed up.
That's when you know that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not not there, you know.
Jesus was knocking and they did not answer.
Exactly, man. That just fascinates me. But it all gets back to the life change.
Yeah.
Choice.
And the choice.
Yeah.
You know, and I really believe that there's been a weakened Christianity that is just soft and is full of this hyper grace message.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to a message of hope and life and victory, but of holiness and consecration.
Oh yeah.
Like there's nothing wrong with believing in something, whether it be God. Well, I mean, being a Christian is not a bad thing.
Right.
A lot of people want to make you believe that, but 9 times out of 10, Christians are just good people that are trying to live a good life and be helpful and generous when they can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it kind of boils down to for me. Like, I want to be helpful. I want to be generous. I want to mentor. I want to show kids that it's... I'm going to go out on a whim here. You can be cool and still love God. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Like,
I think part of it, though, is as far as like young people, because I watched our daughter deal with this, you know, it's, you know, especially like church kids that go to a private school, because it was like, you know, she would go to church and there would be like, you know, oh, reach out to those around, you know, reach out to people around you, reach out to people around you. And it's like, okay, well, I go to church with my friends. I go to school with all my church friends.
Yeah.
Because we all go to the same school and then we all hang out together and we all do the same like rec sports together. It's like, who are you reaching out to?
Right.
You know, you're
that's
basically
why
just
I loved when my daughter was in organized sports.
Yeah.
And she was around, like she was in gymnastics. And she was around some messy girls, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I was grateful for it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Ella, that's reality right there, man.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in your little Christian bubble, you know, it's man, you can get so, what's the word for it? You could get so... out of touch, just get out of touch with the reality of life is messy and it's not like, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, iron sharpens iron, you know, those things, but it's also good to follow the real true command of the Lord, which is go into all the world and minister the gospel, preach the gospel. And then, you know, and that's why I loved being in, you know, the Spirit-filled Christian bands, is because I 99% of the time I'm not playing in a Christian venue.
Yeah.
Like, we actually preferred not playing in Christian venues.
Yeah.
Because it was the Christian shows were the ones that were, you know, you're just preaching to the choir, you know, and there's, but when you're in a bar and you're, this last tour I did, I said, listen, I apologize on behalf of the church that it's been that the Jesus that changed my life has been misrepresented to you.
Yeah.
And if you've been hurt I just want to let you know that's not Jesus. That's not God. God doesn't bring hurt and pain. He brings life and life more abundantly.
Yeah, I like that. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of mean or worldly people do whatever they can to make Jesus look bad. Yeah. And it's yeah. really not. Like, I walked into our church with a horrible attitude,
mm-hmm.
horrible thoughts on Jesus. I didn't care for him. Yeah. And now, you know, walking here yesterday, getting filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm yeah. no different then than I was now as far as like who I am, but my life is, my eyes are more wide open. Mm-hmm. My,
yeah.
you know, my demeanor is different. My attitude's different. I haven't changed who I am. I'm still yeah. Chico, but,
yeah. yeah.
and my friends who know me know, like, I got God in my heart. If you don't like it, you don't have to be my friend. Yeah. It's that simple.
Yeah. And I'll say that's one reason, one of the reasons why, when you told me that Sean tapped you, he's like, yeah, Sean wants me to be mentor. Well, I don't got nothing. And I was encouraged. I was encouraged because yeah. you have lived a lot of that real life. You
I
have lived mm-hmm. a lot of that. You've seen the jaded, dirty
yeah.
parts of the world and parts of the church.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it is. And kind of like to Sean, to you with your daughter, it's, you know, all these things we learn about the Bible and about God and church. It's like, if you're not using those, it's almost like those muscles become atrophied,
yep.
you know, from not using, but it's also, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's the living water that's being poured into us
yeah.
becomes stale because we're not pouring it out.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, what good are we as a vessel of living water
yeah.
if we're not sharing it, if we're not living it out in front yeah. of people, if we're not giving people that choice of exchange, you
and
know?
So many people are afraid. They're like, but you know, that's so, there's so, it's such darkness. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Here's yeah. the thing. The Bible says where sin abounds, so much more does his grace super abound.
Yeah.
And grace is God's supernatural enabling of a believer to do the works of God.
Yeah.
So when sin is abounding and you're in a place of tremendous like darkness, always remember is that God's empowerment is even more available to you in those situations.
Yeah.
So you just got to pull on those, the power of God
yeah.
to have the right words. And I want to tell you, everywhere I've went in the last 2 months preaching a strong gospel
yeah.
and bars, I never once had not one individual come up to me and critically say anything. I had tons of people coming up to me and saying, thank you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank cool. you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that shows me is that, man, there is so much we can do.
Oh, yeah.
So much we could do. And there's a world that's waiting, hungry for
yeah.
somebody to be bold enough to do it.
Yeah. And I've found a real easy tool for when you are encountering darkness in the world is, hi, my name's Luke.
Yeah.
You know, I've said it to so many people, and it worked on me, and that's why I say it to so many people, is the reason I ended up becoming Christian and ended up in church was because I had a neighbor that basically said hi.
Yeah.
And became my friend. He never talked about Jesus. He never talked about the church, yep. the Bible, nothing. But he yep. became my friend. And eventually yep. I said, he's cool.
Yep.
I kind of want to be like that.
Yeah.
Yep. And what is different about him? There's something different about him. You know,
yeah.
it's like, and I love being around believers that are just so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I really like them. You know, yeah. it's like, I yeah. really, they're good people.
Yeah.
For me, it was my wife. And before she was my wife, you know, she said, my family goes to church and I'll give it a shot, you know. And it, I mean, I went in kicking and screaming, but again, because I gave it a chance, because mm-hmm. I allowed myself to be pliable,
yeah.
here I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now I don't mind helping out with the youth. I don't mind, you know, making long-lasting relationships with dudes that I will take a bullet for any day of the week. You know what I mean? So
yeah. You know. And it's so amazing, like, you know, not to plug our church or anything, but we've got some fantastic men in our church, man.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Do. They're hungry. They want to help. They want to be mentors. Some of the younger dudes are looking up to the older dudes now. And even us are still looking up to the older guys that are older than us.
Yeah.
You know, like Mr. Mark, he's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Merle. You got to get Merle on here, man. He's probably got some stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's needed because I came from a church that had hardly any strong men. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
They wouldn't lift their hands during worship. They weren't vulnerable. They weren't anything, you know, and they were very closed off.
Yep.
You know, then I come to Revive, or what used to be called World Revival Church, and men are just vulnerable and open and worshipful and like, and in it, I was like,
and they're still manly.
And they're still manly.
Yeah.
They'll still shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And love it.
And I do miss, like, we had this thing called Relentless Men, and I miss that. I thought that was super cool, and I thought it was something that I could grasp onto. And then when it stopped, I was like, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of the same way.
Now what?
Yep.
Now what is the Equipped Man?
Yeah. That's, yeah, for sure.
I've actually... Yep. So long-term goal, I want to do something like Relentless Men. Or sweet. Like Sean and I were talking, the camp out trip that we did in Tennessee.
Let's
I know not just our church, but the church as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
They need the men of God need each other.
Yep.
And they need that now what?
Yeah.
Yep.
To be answered.
Yep.
You
yep.
know, because, you know, I've said it before on here, there's so many books, materials, conferences, whatnot about convincing men that they need to accept Jesus. And it's like, okay, but now what?
Yep.
Right.
I'm convinced. I've been baptized. I've, you know, been baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit. I want to give my life to this. I want to change my life. I want to make this choice, and I want to go forward, and I want to charge.
Yep.
And now what?
Yep.
Well, go to this conference where they'll tell you that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm like,
I already did that.
I already did that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so it is. So I mean, again, I've.
But see, here's the thing. I don't have this this thing of now what. I have this more like, well, now what do you want me to do?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
right. And I think
show me what to do now so that I can keep, you know, being a vessel for you.
Yeah,
and I think
can't
that
even
is
I'm
the
saying
process.
This right now. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the process of like that being perfected. Is that, you know, yes, I've given my life to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord, and like a lot of people just stay there.
Yeah.
And they don't move to that next place where they're like, okay, God, use me.
Yeah.
Use me.
And that's kind of where I'm at. Use me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
I don't care what it is, just as long as I'm not like hurting anybody.
Yep. And so I would love for the Equipped Man to become a thing at Revive Church.
That'd be great.
And I know that JD and Pastor James have actually mentioned here recently, because the women are doing so much, we're like, okay, men, we've got to step it up again. Yeah.
And we've got to do more than just have a breakfast in the foyer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yep. Even though that bacon is awesome.
It is really good.
Yeah. But bacon comes in any day.
Bacon is
life.
You
can do bacon any day.
And if you don't like bacon, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yep. You know. I like bacon. You know why I like bacon? Because when you're making it, it actually cheers. It's like,
it doesn't gobble like turkey bacon.
That's right. See how they make that stuff's nasty.
It's gross.
It's nasty. All right, any final thoughts?
Well,
words of wisdom,
I just say, like, if you're out there, you're listening, and you've heard us go in a lot of different directions, and I know as a man, it's hard to be vulnerable like we talked about earlier. But you know, if you don't have that guy, you know, I just pray, you know, over this broadcast, just pray that, you know, that the Lord would bring that person into your life and would open up, allow you to open up your heart and receive healing, for maybe some mental and some, you know, spiritual struggle that you're battling. And so, you know, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that if you're listening and you're longing for a person that you can open up to, I pray that that person comes along your path right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Chico?
Love your friends, love your family, love God, but most importantly, love yourself.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Love it.
Because if you can't love yourself, then you can't love everything else around you.
Say it.
And it's taken me a while to get to that point. And I can say from experience that it's a bad place to be.
Mm. Yep.
And now that I've gotten baptized and I can love myself and look at myself in the mirror and feel adequate that I'm taking care of my family, taking care of my obligations, being a friend to my friends, being a father to my kids, being a husband to my wife.
Yeah.
Now I can be like, all right, God, I love you. I love all you guys. Like, let's just do this life together and let's have fun doing it.
Yeah. Well, we love you, Chico.
Yeah.
Don't be gay.
You know, when he was saying, he was looking in the mirror, like looking at my mirror, I thought of that old skit on Saturday Night Live. He's like, I'm handsome.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Touche.
Oh, that has to be one of the best.
You're so mean.
All right, guys. See you next time. Stay fit. Be well.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.